One of the great psalms of ascent is Psalm 129, which is looking at one that is suffering and making actually a plea to the Lord. This has been applied in a number of ways. Some believe it has to do with the Babylonian captivity and the suffering that was experienced there. Others apply it to the time of Nehemiah. We're not 100% sure, but it is looking at suffering that has come upon Israel. And we begin Shir Hama'alot, a psalm of ascents. Notice Shir is the word for song, and Hama'alot, the definite article Ha, and Ma'alot is your feminine plural, ascents, from the noun ma'ala, meaning ascent. So this is another one of the great ascent psalms that would have been sung as the children of Israel would be going up to the temple to worship the Lord. They would be ascending up into Jerusalem, since you had to go up to get into Jerusalem. And so it begins, Rabat Sararuni Neneurai. Much have they afflicted me from my youth. Yomar na Yisrael, let Israel now say. Rabat is an adverb from the word rab, and so much, it's going then with the verb, or a great deal, they have afflicted me. Sararuni is from sarat, to afflict. It is a cal perfect third common plural from tsara, tsarar, and ni is your pronominal suffix. Notice the nun is like a hinge with the first person singular pronominal suffix in the e. So much they have afflicted me, mineurai, from my youth. Neurai comes from the noun neurim, which means youth. And notice the I is your pronominal suffix, first common singular, put on a plural form. And the mem here is your preposition from. Notice the noon has assimilated in the noon of the noun itself. So much they have afflicted me from my youth. In other words, if we're applying it to Israel, it would be from the very beginning of Israel's history, from Abraham or from the suffering in Egypt. From my youth up, they've afflicted me, is one way of interpreting it. Yomar na Yisrael, let Israel now say. Notice Yomar is from the root Amar. It's a pay aleph verb, cow imperfect with that yod, third masculine singular. And so let Israel now say, na, we would render now, and then Yisrael meaning Israel. Notice this is a cow imperfect jussive from the root Amar. And again, these pay aleph verbs have an O vowel in the imperfect because we have a dissimilation that has occurred. Yemar, as we pointed out many times, probably dissimilated with that aleph being quiescent into a holem from possibly what have been two I vowels in the imperfect changing to that holem. So let Israel now say, much have they afflicted me. So it's looking at the affliction that has gone against Israel. It is interesting, when we look at the New Testament, the same idea of affliction is applied to the New Testament church, as Paul calls the Israel of God in Galatians chapter 6. And the church, the spiritual Israel, suffers much, and even Jesus talks about that suffering from its origin all the way through. its time before the Lord's second advent. And so this is then repeated, Rabat Sararuni Mene'urai Gamlo Yachluli. Much, again, the adverb Rabat from Rab, have they afflicted me, Zeraruni, the same form, the cow, imperfect, third common plural from tsarar, and again your pronominal suffix in the e with the hinge in the nun, separating the vowel from the final pronominal suffix vowel. So much they have afflicted me from my youth, again the repeat of neurim, neurai, the noun plural, with your pronominal suffix, I, put on a plural form, with your, again, your preposition introducing it. So much they have afflicted me from my youth. Indeed, though, they have not prevailed against me. Notice the root here, a gum, would be rendered here indeed, an adverbial form, with lo, your negative particle, and yin yachluli. Yachluli is from the root yachal, which means to prevail. So they have not prevailed against or toward me or against me. Yachlu is again your cow perfect third common plural from yachal, to prevail against. And he goes on then, the psalmist goes on after saying that, and we might make a point here. The Lord has protected his people, the psalmist is saying, so that those who have afflicted them have not prevailed. And that is true of the New Testament Israel of God, the church. There is the promise that I will build my church, Jesus says in Matthew 16, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And as we move on, it goes on, Al Gabi Harashu Horashim Arihu Lam Anotam. That is, upon my back the plowers, or they who have plowed, have plowed. In other words, they plowed upon my back, and they made long, Echarihu, they made long their furrows. The root or the word furrow, meaning the plowed ground, from ma'ana. Notice here, as we look at this verse, al is your preposition, upon, and gabi is from the noun gab, meaning back. And notice it has a pronominal suffix, first person singular. So upon my back, then they have plowed. Notice harashu is your cow in a perfect third masculine singular from harash. They have plowed. So cow perfect, third common, I should say, third common plural. The same is true of yachalu, above. It's just your cow perfect, third common plural. So upon my back, they have plowed. That is the plowers. Horashim. Horashim is from the root harash again. Notice it has an O-class vowel, and it is your cow participial form, masculine plural, from harash. So those who are plowing, or who have plowed, the plowers, I should say, the ones plowing, have plowed upon my back. The back here is looking at the, like a ground that has plowed furrows in it. And what you find here is the application being made to the suffering of the welts, a beating, or what the psalmist and the Israelites have suffered, using that imagery. And we go on to apply it further, he'arechun, he'arechu, And then it's lam anotam. That is, they have made long their furrows or their plowed ground. Notice hecharechu is your hifil, perfect, third common plural from arak. That is, to make long. Notice the he prefix with the indicates the hifil stem, and so they're causing it to be long. And notice under the aleph we have a chatef segol, where the segol part of that shifts under the he. So it is just your hifil, perfect, third common plural from harak. Notice you have your I vowel then with your he and your segol, showing that we are looking at a hifil stem. So they make long their lema'anotam, their plowed ground, where the grounds are plowed, and it, when you extend it long, it's looking at the real evil that was done by putting with whips, for example, on the backs of the Israelites. And this then is looking at intense suffering that those who have persecuted them have made long their furrows or their plowed ground. And as we look at the word make long their plowed ground, lema'anotam, notice the hifil with the lamed here is looking at an accusative. The lamed introducing an accusative syntactically with the hifil stem, he'arichu. So they have made long toward or to, literally, their furrows. And it is interesting that mahanotam is from ma'ana, meaning the plowing ground, or what has been plowed, and am is your pronominal suffix, third masculine plural. So they have extended or made long, looking at the direct object with the lamed after the hifil here, syntactically speaking, their furrows or their plowed ground. Again, this text is looking at an extreme kind of suffering where those who were persecuting Israel using the imagery of plowed ground and the back is making their back with whelps extra long, plowing their back, so to speak, and using that imagery, looking at the whips that would have been applied to their backs. This could look at Israel in exile, what happened in Egypt with the taskmasters. It also, I think, applying it in the New Testament application, that the Israel of God has experienced the same kind of suffering in a spiritual application from the Greek New Testament. So, again, the suffering that the people of God have gone through and continue to go through in the church today. As we move on to verse 4, though, Adonai Tzadik, the Lord is righteous. And it says, Kitzeitz Avot Reshaim. He has cut asunder the cords of the wicked ones. Notice, again, the Lord steps in and he helps cut asunder these cords that have been afflicting God's people. It is interesting, the cords look at what is tying together the oxen as they are plowing. It's like the harness that's tying it together. And the emphasis here is that the Lord has cut that so that there can't be this ongoing suffering. He's giving relief to what they are going through. Kitzeitz is from the root katzatz, to cut asunder. Notice it's a PL, perfect, third masculine singular, with the I vowel, the doubling of the tsate, notice the doggish forte in the tsate, followed by the tsere. So he is cutting asunder the chords avot. Avot is the noun from ava or avo that means cord or rope. And notice the ot here is your feminine plural in construct with resha'im. So he cuts asunder the cords of the wicked ones. Resha'im, notice, is from rasha to mean wicked. And here we have an adjective, wicked ones. So he's cutting the cords of the wicked ones. And again, we see the Lord cutting off the cords that would bind, so to speak, the oxen that would be doing the work in the field. So the Lord here is cutting these ropes that the wicked people have used to plow up with their oxen the back of Israel. And again, applying it in the New Testament, where the Lord eventually protects his church, especially in the final eschaton, in eternity. He cuts the cords permanently, and there will be no more suffering. And so as we move on then to verse 5, Yevoshu v'yesogu achor kol sonei tzion. Let them be ashamed, and let them be turned backward, all who hate Zion. Notice, Yevoshu is from Bosh, a middle weak verb, to be ashamed, and it is a cal imperfect jussive, third common plural from Bosh, and then it's coupled with the conjunction ve, and then we have Yesogu. Yesogu is from the root sog, which means to actually be turned backwards or be turned around and noted, or to be turned. Notice Yevoshu is your cal imperfect jussive, third common plural, and then Yesogu, let them be turned, is a nifal, imperfect jussive. Notice that dogish forte in the consonant, the somic. So let them be turned, and we have the root sog. A nifal jussive, third common plural from sog. And then achor is your adverb meaning backwards. So let them be turned backwards, all who hate Zion. Kol, everyone, or the totality of those who hate Zion, or the haters of Zion. Notice, sonae is your participle here, from sana, to hate. All those who are hating, haters of, we could say, and that seriyog puts a plural masculine construct of this cal participial form with Zion. So all those who hate Zion. And Zion represents Israel. And again, what the psalmist is praying in this ascent psalm, let those that are the persecutors and hate Zion be ashamed and turn backwards. And again, as we apply this scene in a Christian application in the New Testament, we know that someday the Lord is going to judge the world and those who have persecuted the Church of God, or the Israel of God, the New Testament. We see that in, for example, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. The Lord will give you rest, it says, with us when he comes back with flaming judgment against those who are afflicting you. So the same kind of application is made via the New Testament, applying it to the church and its suffering. As we move on to verse 6, it says, we're looking at the oppression and deliverance. And now it says, let them be as grass. Yeyu kachatzir gagot, let them be as grass upon the housetops. Shekadmat shalaf yavesh, which withers, which literally, which before it springs up, withers. Notice Yeyu is again your cow imperfect, third common plural. It's a jussive idea again. Let them be as. Ka is your inseparable pronominal pronoun, the kaf, with the a vowel underneath, showing that it is now connecting with that chatef pathach that has shifted under the kaf. So let them be as the grass. And it carries with it the definite article because of the pathach. So let them be as the grass up of the rooftops. Notice the word here, gag, means roof, and it's a feminine plural in the oat. And what is the imagery here? What seems to be the imagery is that sometimes seed from the ground would come upon by the wind, would be blown upon a roof, and it would begin to take root, develop some soil, so to speak, but it will soon be cut off because there's no deep root at all to cause it to endure. And so this is the prayer of the psalmist against those that are afflicting Israel. Let it be like that grass seed that has taken began to take root, but it doesn't go anywhere. It withers before it can spring up. And notice shekadmat is an interesting combination here of she with kadma, and hence it becomes like a preposition, or is a preposition, the two together, which before, literally we could render it then, before it springs up. Shalaf means to shoot up. It's the cow perfect third masculine singular from the root shalaf, before it shoots up with grass that grows. Let it wither is the thought. Yavesh, in other words, which before it springs up, it withers. Yavesh is your stative cow perfect from yavash to wither. So what he's saying here is, let those that are persecuting Israel, the psalmist is saying, let them be like grass upon rooftops, that before it is even able to spring up, because it doesn't have rootage, withers. And again, this is a prayer that we could pray for believers, that the Lord would protect His people, and that before evil can spring up, that it could be cut down, or stopped, we could say, before it springs up, that it would shrivel, that it would wither. That would be the prayer before it can even bring forth a type of growth. Let it wither is what the prayer is here. But then as we move on in verse 7, Shelo mile chapo kotzer, wherefore let not the reaper fill his hand. Notice Shelo is again the she with the word to fill, the word not, literally it would be that which not. You have your relative pronoun, a shortened form of it here, she, and then your negative particle lo. That which not fills his hand, that is the reaper. So we could render it wherewith the one who reaps is able to fill his hand. Mille is your PL, third PL perfect, third masculine singular. Notice you have your I vowel, your doubling of your lamed, and so which means to fill from mala. Chapo is the noun from kaf that means hand, and O is your pronominal suffix, third masculine singular, and kotser is your cow participle, masculine singular, from katsar, to reap. So that is not even able, that which is not able, that is his hand, the one who is reaping, is able to fill. We could render it therefore, wherefore the reaper does not fill his hand, nor the one who binds his bosom. Notice the chitzno me'amer. Chitzno means bosom, a bosom, from chotzen, which means bosom. So, and notice it's in construct with o, your pronominal suffix, third masculine singular, and me'amer is from amar, to bind. Notice you have a participial form here, a PL participle from amar, to bind. Notice you have the mem prefix giving it away as a participial form. You have your shava followed by your pathak, which shows it to be PL, as well as the doubling of the mem. So, nor the one who binds his bosom, nor he that bindeth, let him not be able to fill his bosom. So we have a thought here that is interesting. You have the reaper coming along, cutting with the scythe the grain, holding it in his hand, and then you have a reaper coming along, or a binder, I should say, taking that, binding it, and putting it in his, I guess we could say, his bosom, because around him would be like a robe that he would have, where he would take what was cut and put it in his robe or bosom, that he is, his girdle, we could say, that had like pockets that would hold what was being bound, because he would have this large garment, this large robe that would hold what is being bound by the reaper. He would take it and hold it, bind it, so to speak, I should say, that is the one following the reaper, and put it in his garment. So what he's really saying, and by the way, the verb mille functions for both clauses, that the reaper not fill his hand, nor the one who is binding his bosom. And they're working together here. And so the imagery is that the Lord is being asked to make it so that those who are suffering, or those who are persecuting Israel, would not be prosperous in what they're doing, or not be successful, if the reaper is not able to fill his hand, and the one binding his sheaves into his bosom, put it in his garment. This is meaning, let them be unsuccessful in what they're doing in this imagery of reaping and binding. But it's being applied to those that are causing Israel pain and suffering. May they not succeed in what they're doing. And this then, as we apply it from a New Testament perspective, is the prayer that those who are persecuting the people of God, that they will not be successful. This is what the text is saying, I believe, via a New Testament, if we wanted to make a New Testament application. Then finally, verse 8, Velo amru ha-ovrim birkat Adonai alechem berachnu etchem b'shem Adonai. And do not let them say, neither do they say. And notice, veh here is just your conjunction, and that we could translate neither here, or but they do not say, probably neither let them not say, literally, and not let, and not that they say, that the ones who pass by. And notice the negative particle lo here with your conjunction ve, followed by your cal perfect third common plural from amar, and they do not say ha ovrim, those who pass by. Notice ha is your definite article, avar means to pass by, it is your cal perfect with the o vowel here, masculine plural in the im. So neither do they say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. Birchat Adonai Alechem. Notice birchat is from birka, meaning blessing. So birkat Adonai, the blessing of the Lord. Here's a noun in construct. Birka has become birkat, where the final hey has changed to a tav in construct with yod hey vav hey, the tetragrammaton. And so the blessing of the Lord aleichem be upon you. And we have the be understood here, and ale means unto, a preposition followed by chem, your pronominal suffix, second masculine plural. So the blessing of the Lord, let it not be, let them not be able to say, let them not say, I should say, because there's no reaping going on, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. And then, let them not be able to say, we bless you. What they're really praying here, what the psalmist is praying here, that no blessing of the Lord can be invoked or can be applied to these reapers, because what they're doing is hurting God's people. That's the imagery. And often, like in the case of Ruth, those who would see the reapers would often wish a blessing upon them from the Lord. And he's saying, may that not be. And that leads to the final phrase then, Berachnu etchem b'shem Adonai. We bless you in the name of the Lord. In other words, berachnu is from the root barak, to bless. Notice it's a PL, perfect, first common plural from barak. Notice the new here puts it in the first person plural, common plural form. So we bless etchem, you. Notice etchem is the direct object of berachnu, and it is a pronoun, plural, a second person plural, etchem. So we bless you, b'shem Adonai, in the name of the Lord. Be is your inseparable preposition in, and shem Adonai, shem means name, a noun, in construct with yod hey vav hey, Adonai. And so what the statement here is that, Lord, let it be that those who are persecuting Israel not be successful, and they that pass by, as was common when people were out gleaning and reaping, they would say, we're going to give you a blessing. May the blessing of the Lord be upon you, and we bless you in the name of the Lord, wishing you well. May that not be able to be done. And that's what the psalmist is saying, because of the nature of this kind of reaping against God's people applied symbolically to the suffering that they're going through. May there not be anyone pronouncing a blessing on that type of evil work that was being done toward God's people, Israel. And again, this whole text could be applied, I think, to the people of the Lord today, not only in the time of the psalmist, but to those that are suffering for the sake of Christ. And there is this exhortation in the New Testament or this exhortation to the Lord, Lord, protect your people. And may those that seek to do evil not be successful, and pronounce a blessing on those that are doing hurt to your people. So it's a very interesting psalm that has to do with a plea historically in its first level of interpretation to protect Israel from those that are seeking to bring harm or hurt. But then as we apply it in a spiritual sense in the New Testament, we can see the same prayer that could be made in the New Testament, protect your people from harm and from danger. And lead us not into suffering, but protect us from that. So what a very interesting psalm that can be, that in its historical interpretation, may relate to Israel in Egypt or Babylon, but applying it then as a Christian, with a Christian application in the New Testament, could look at the same kind of prayer for the protection of God's people from the persecution and suffering that is often afflicted against it.